Welcome to Dharma Glimpses, an introduction to the profound treasury teachings of Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, taught by Judy Leaf. In this episode, Judy discusses nobility.
Welcome. In Buddhism, there's a phrase called a son or daughter of noble family. I've thought about this a lot, and also how radical it was for the Buddha to redefine the whole notion of nobility. In India, of course, where the Buddha taught, there was a caste system, as there still is, and a very clear distinction between the noble castes and the less noble castes and those who are outside the system entirely or untouchables. And I think in the West, we have notions of nobility as well, going back to the Middle Ages and the time of knights and armor and the very monarchical systems where there's court and the king or queen, and then there's the nobleman, and then there's commoners. For the most part, you were born into nobility or born into being a commoner. I guess the closest thing in many Western societies is born into wealth or born into poverty. In materialist societies, the idea of that kind of special status seems to be mostly associated with extreme wealth. And the idea of with extreme wealth, you have access to extreme power. You basically enter a different dimension, accessible to only the privileged few. So why did the Buddha talk about being a son or daughter of noble family? What was he referring to? He, in fact, was completely redefining this term. At what point is one acknowledged as a son or daughter of a noble family? It is at the point when you dedicate your life to the service of others. That is, you become noble the moment you commit yourself to what is called the Bodhisattva path, or the path of the Bodhisattva warrior, a warrior whose weapons are wisdom and compassion. When you commit yourself to alleviating the suffering of beings around us, sentient beings. And what are the marks of that nobility? They're quite different than either power or money or access to the throne. Early Buddhists gave away all trappings that marked class or privilege or lack thereof. So they shaved their heads and wore matching robes and actually diminished the signs of a difference or of any sort of gender difference or aura difference or caste difference as a deliberate practice. You could see this as an affront to the whole trappings of the caste system, and you could see it as raising the question, what should we aspire to? What is true nobility? And how does it manifest? The Buddha replaced the idea of nobility as status with nobility of character. And from that perspective, a noble one could be of any caste, any class, any culture, any gender. Such nobility manifests in how you handle yourself and how you relate to others. Its foundation is mindfulness, being present in your life and interactions. There's a quality of respect for experience and respect for the objects and the people in your life. Respect for the details of doing things properly, paying attention, cutting through distraction, cutting through self-absorption. Very simple. Simple, present, and aware. And the other underpinning really is a sense of spaciousness, of an openness to experience. A non-shut-down quality, a receptivity. These underpinnings of mindfulness, respect for details, the awareness and flexibility and openness of mind, and the quality of a simple discipline in life manifest in a variety of ways. They manifest physically in your bearing and your posture. Not rigid, not sloppy, respectful of your body and bodily movement, awareness of posture and what it conveys. The point is not to be overly precious or self-conscious in every little gesture that you make, but simply paying attention and really tuning into the way that your gestures matter. They convey something. They can be a form of an offering to others. They can change a situation. There are stories of simple gestures of teachers or the Buddha himself that change the course of a student's life I saw a very moving example of this watching a television show about a visit to a refugee encampment. I watched as a person who had lost everything, who had virtually nothing, prepared for a visit from the documentary producer and the aid worker. They found a cardboard box. They found a scrap of cloth. They carefully laid the cloth over the box, and they set cups on it for tea. They conveyed such richness, such elegance, such hospitality, such deep-rooted human dignity in that most meager of settings. It's amazing how such simple gestures resonate. I still remember it, and it still inspires me to cultivate such grace and presence in my own gestures. The same quality of nobility reflected in the simplest of gestures is also reflected in speech. It is reflected in how we talk with one another, in our comfort with silence, respect for words, choosing our words with some care and deliberation, developing a discipline of speech, not just rattling off whatever pops up in our mind simply to fill space. Nobility of speech means speaking truthfully and straightforwardly. Altogether, through the body or the speech, respecting and being much more aware of the effect on others of how we hold our own body and how we use our own words. This quality of dignity or nobility is also reflected in our minds, how we work with our mind. There's dignity simply in being attentive. There is dignity in a mind that is relaxed, not rigid, that is curious and open. How often do you really pay attention? And how often are you ever paid attention to? And how powerful is that when that happens, when someone really pays attention? Nobility of mind manifests in respect for learning, respect for wisdom, and for knowledge. This is reflected in self-knowledge as well. When we're aware of our inner thought and emotional patterning, we are less apt to be sidetracked by sudden outbursts of thoughts and emotions. There's more stability. So going back to the question of what is nobility and how did the Buddha completely redefine this notion of nobility? He said that when you enter the path of wisdom and compassion, when you commit to cultivating those qualities, when you commit to the service of others, you are welcomed in as a son or daughter of noble family. As a member of this noble family, you embark on a path of cultivating body, speech, and mind, not just for yourself, but for the benefit of all beings. Thank you for joining me for this glimpse of Dharma.
This podcast is made possible through the support of the Hemera Foundation. To learn more about Judy Leaf's teachings, publications, and retreats, or to contribute to the support of this podcast, please visit judyleaf.com.